Nader Hassan, how are you feeling this morning?
Feeling great. The Supreme Court has granted us leave to appeal in the Clyde River seismic testing challenge. So although there's a lot of work to be done, we have to convince the court that we're right and convince the court to do the right thing and order that Aboriginal rights and the duty to consult be taken seriously. But this is a very important first step. The fact that the Supreme Court of Canada has granted leave to appeal means that the court, the highest court in our land, recognizes that this is an issue of national importance.
Can you tell me, just kind of explain in layman terms, what the leave to appeal means?
Yeah, so the Supreme Court of Canada is the highest court in the country, and it takes only a small percentage of cases. Just because you lose at the Federal Court of Appeal or Quebec Court of Appeal or Ontario Court of Appeal doesn't mean you get to appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada. The Supreme Court only takes about 5 to 10% of cases every year from the applications that are brought before them. So you have to convince the court not just that the lower court got it wrong, you also have to convince the court that this is a case of national importance and it's deserving of the Supreme Court of Canada's attention.
So have you had a chance to talk to your clients in Clyde River this morning?
I have very briefly and just electronically because, as you can imagine, Mr. Natanin is in high demand from various journalists across the country.
Can you tell me, so what's the next step? What is going to happen for the applicants, and what is happening more with seismic testing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So ordinarily, an appeal at the Supreme Court of Canada takes a number of months to get heard, and then even longer for the court to render a decision. The next major step for us is to prepare our written argument materials called a factum. And we have, under the ordinary timeline at the Supreme Court of Canada, we have 12 weeks. And when we submit that, after we submit our factum and other appeal materials, the other side gets 8 weeks from that date to submit their materials opposing us. And then the Supreme Court will set a date for a hearing, usually about 6 months out from this point. And then we all come together in Ottawa at the Supreme Court, and we argue the appeal live before the panel of nine Supreme Court judges. And then the Supreme Court usually takes some time to render its decision. Now, as you know, the seismic testing is scheduled to go ahead this summer in the Nunavut and Baffin Bay and Davis Strait. So given that the Supreme Court appeal process takes longer and will likely go beyond this summer, we will have to seek some kind of interlocutory or temporary relief, such as an order from the Supreme Court to preserve the status quo on the ground, such that no seismic testing can take place until the Supreme Court has spoken.
When would you find out whether the Supreme Court gives this judicial order?
Well, we have to ask for it first.
Okay.
And we haven't done that yet because the leave to appeal decision just came out today. We may not have to seek a formal order if I can get agreement from the seismic testing companies that they should put their plans on hold, given that the Supreme Court of Canada is going to be speaking on this issue. Because they know as well as we do that once seismic testing begins, the harm caused by seismic testing to marine life and Inuit food security, that harm cannot be undone. So it's crucial that the status quo on the ground be preserved until our highest court speaks to this issue.
Now, the issue of seismic testing is not gonna go away. Is this a precedent-setting case?
Every case that goes to the Supreme Court of Canada is to some extent a precedent-setting case. And this case perhaps more than many cases, will be a precedent-setting case in many areas of the law. It'll be a precedent for seismic testing. It'll also be a very important precedent for a duty to consult and the obligations of government and the obligations of industry when it comes to consultation with Aboriginal and Inuit peoples. And it will also be a huge precedent for Aboriginal rights more generally.
So can you tell me, give me like a couple of examples, a couple of the areas where this decision would be applicable one way or the other?
Yeah, that's a very good question, an important question. I mean, one of our main arguments is that the duty to consult is owed by the Crown, by the government, to the Aboriginal peoples or Inuit peoples, and that the government can't simply delegate consultation to self-interested energy companies. And that's what really happened in this case. You had the energy companies speaking to various Inuit organizations on the ground in Nunavut, but the federal government, the Harper government, took a completely hands-off approach. And that's not how the duty to consult is supposed to work. The energy companies, they have no fiduciary obligation to Aboriginal peoples or the Inuit peoples. They have fiduciary obligations to their shareholders. It's the government that has a fiduciary responsibility to Aboriginal peoples in this country. And so it should be the government that plays an active role in discharging the duty to consult. And that issue of duty to consult is front and center in this appeal. And so regardless of which way the court rules, this case will be important going forward in all duty to consult cases, which nowadays is virtually every case that involves a large extraction project, because all extraction projects, whether it's a pipeline, whether it's offshore testing or oil exploration, will affect Aboriginal rights.
Now, for you on a personal level, how does it feel to be having the opportunity to take a case to the Supreme Court?
Well, thanks for asking. It's not my first time there, but this is certainly a really important one. I care passionately and deeply about this issue and about these clients, and it's always nice to be on the side of the little guy. It's always nice to be on the side of justice. You know, at the end of the day, for my clients, you know, as a constitutional lawyer, I dress it up in terms of constitutional principles. But for my clients, this case is about the right to eat. In Nunavut, in Clyde River, you can't just walk into a grocery store and buy all of your nutritious food. It's prohibitively expensive. And so people in Clyde River and in the surrounding communities, they rely, as they have for centuries, on marine mammals for their food security. And seismic testing is known to be harmful to marine mammals. If it doesn't kill them, it will drive them away. It'll disrupt migratory routes. And so this case is not simply about protecting abstract principles or protecting the Arctic ecosystem. It's also about protecting human beings and preserving a centuries-old way of life. So it's a tremendous privilege to be going back to the Supreme Court of Canada, and it's even more of a privilege to be able to represent the people of Clyde River.